we're holding on Ches Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah about the father and a son, one killing the other and going into Golos, and we said also everybody to a Yisrael, or Yisrael to everybody except for a Ger Toshav, and a Ger Toshav only through a Ger Toshav. So now we're going to deal with those details about Yisrael and others and so forth. So the Gemara says, when the Mishnah had said Hakol Golin Al Yedei Yisrael Cholo, that everybody would go into Golos because of Yisrael, because of killing a Yisrael, so Hakol Golin Al Yedei Yisrael Yisrael Yimai. What does that come to include? Who else is there besides Yisrael who would be going to the Orem Mikvot for accidentally killing a Yid? And the answer is Yisrael Eved V'Kusi. It comes to include an Eved Kanani, and a Kusi. This is back in the time when the Kusim were assumed to be Geirim. You have the whole machlokas throughout Shas, whether they were Geire Arayas or Geire Emes, were they sincere Geirim or not. So eventually they found they're worshipping Avodah Zarah and they declared them Goyim Gmurim, but here we're talking about during the time when they were considered gay, when they were considered Geire Arayas, and nevertheless, though, they still have, to a certain extent, the dinim of a Yid. So if they kill Yisrael b'shoigeg, or Yisrael kills them, then there's going to be golus. In which case, the Gemara says, Tanenu l'hod tanu rabbanon. Thus, we've learned in the Mishnah briefly what it says more explicitly in a Braisa, which means, therefore, that this Braisa is reliable, and we can accept it l'halacha, where the Braisa says, Evet v'kosi golav aloika ade Yisrael. An Eved or a Kosi would go into Golos, would go into Golos for killing a Yid, or would get Malkus for Yisrael, which we're going to explain in a minute what they would get Malkus for. The Yisrael, Golov Alokai, the Kosi for Eved, and similarly a Yid, a regular Yid, who killed a Goy or a Kosi, an Eved or a Kosi by accident, would go into Golos and would get Malkus. So therefore, so the Braisa is making more explicit what it says in the Mishnah, that Hakol means the Kosi and the Eved. Well, the Gemara says, "Bishlema eved v'kusi golav Yisrael v'loika." So, okay, it's easy to understand what we mean by both gola and loika when it comes to the eved kanani and when it comes to the kusi, because gola dekavle v'loika delatye. So, we would mean he goes into golos if he kills him accidentally, and he gets malchus if he curses him, because since you have an iser in the Torah, loisakal ocherish. From which we learn that it's not just a cheresh, not just a deaf person, but any person, you're allowed to curse any person, then if he curses him, then he's chayav malchus. So that's what it would mean, that goyla and loike. Ela Yisrael Golov Aloika Ayde Kusi, but if you're saying that a Yid might go into Golos or might get Golos for doing something to a Kusi, Bishlema Gola Dekatle, fine, I can understand. If he kills him, he goes to the Orem Mikla. Ela Loika Amai, but what would the Yid be getting Malkus for involving the Kusi? The Latye, is it that he cursed him? And you'd be saying that therefore, like we just said, he'd be Chayav Malkus for that. He cursed him and he's over on that Lav. Or actually, Rashi points out, based on the Gemara that we learned from Sanhedrin, that there are actually three different lavim involved regarding cursing in the Torah. Not to curse a regular person, not to curse a dayan, and not to curse a nosi. And from the combination of all of those, from a mamatzinu, between all of those, we learn that the same thing applies to every yid. Anyway, the point is, you're going to say this because he cursed the kusi. The problem with that is, one of those psukim from which we learn that you're not allowed to curse another yid is v'nosi ba'amcha loisar. Don't curse a nosi among your people. And when it says ba'amcha, that means ba'osim ma'isa amcha. The din, the issur, applies only to somebody who acts like amcha, who acts like a fellow yid. Now, a kusi does not, because even if you say, whether you say kusin or geire emes or geire arayas, they're not keeping Yiddishkeit fully either. The Gemara mentions in various places that there are various mitzvahs that they don't hold apply. In some ways they're similar to the tzedukim in that they don't accept parts of Tordesh Baal Peh. There are other angles on it as well, but whatever. They're not Oysa Maisa Amcha, so therefore there should be no Isser in cursing them, and therefore a person should not be getting Malkus for cursing them. As far as an evet, by the way, we've shown him discuss whether the same thing might apply. I mean, an evet is not, an evet is not fully part of amcha, but on the other hand, the fact is he is keeping the mitzvahs that the ritual points out. He's not royal over the kohol, so maybe therefore he wouldn't be counted an amcha for that reason. Whereas the Meiri says that no, person courses an evet, he would be getting malchus. So according to the ritual, the question is really on both the kursi and the evet, and according to the Meiri, it's only on the kursi. Anyway, so what is the case with Braisa saying that if a Yid does something to a Kursi, that he would be Chayiv Malkus? What kind of case would he be Chayiv Malkus? So the Gemara says, fine. Ela Omer of Achav Yaakov, Gun Shehayid Bali, Vahuzam. So fine, rather we can say we're talking about that the Yid gave Eidrus against the Kursi, and turns out to be an Eid Zoymim, whereas we had at the beginning, in the first paragraph, we had cases where the Eid Zoymim is going to be getting Malkus, so the same way would be, now there you don't have the matter of Amcha, there it doesn't matter whether the defendant is Amcha or not, as long as he's still part of the Jewish nation to some extent, then these dinim apply of Eid Zoymim. So that would apply. Well, the Gemara says the Kabbalah says Gabi Eved Shehed Bo Vahuzam. So what are you saying then? So the parallel would be then you have four cases in the Braisa. You have a Yid, you have a Kursi or an Eved did something. Actually, eight cases really. You have a Kursi or an Eved did something to a Yid. The something being either killing him, b'shogeg, or doing something that would make him Chayiv Malkus. That's four cases so far. Kursi killing a Yid. Eved killing a Yid. Kursi cursing the Yid. Eved cursing the Yid. Then you have the other way around. Then you have the other four possibilities with the Yid doing it to the Kursi or the Eved. So therefore, one of your cases would have to be, if you're telling me that we're talking about that, something that is Chayiv Malkus is not cursing, because again, that wouldn't apply to a Yid cursing a Kursi, but rather it applies to testifying and based in. So that would mean that you'd have to have a case where an Eved is testifying and based in and then becomes an Eid Zonin. So to cover say Gabi Eved, the parallel by an Eved Shehed by Vahuzam would have to be that an Eved said Eidus in Basin against a Yid and then became an Eid Zoyman and then turned out to be an Eid Zoyman. What do you mean Eved by Eidus? Who is an Eidus is an Eved capable of giving Eidus in the first place? Is possible Eidus? Even as far as the Kursim, actually, there were different opinions whether they're kosher la Eidus, but at least as far as the Eved, for sure they're the possible Eidus. So that doesn't work. Ela Omer of Acha Breidin of Ika, Hocha Maiskin and Kenshi Ko Hakar Shein Vashava Pruta. Rather, we're talking about that he hit him, but something that's not worth a pruta. Now, if the blow was worth a pruta or more, then he would have to pay, like any mazin. But because it was less than a pruta, So therefore, there's no tashlumen. Instead, there would be malchus. He's over on the mitzvah. The Torah says by somebody who's chayv malchus, lo yosef. You're not allowed to add more malchus, pen yosef, because if he adds more, then we're going to learn in the last parak about that pasuk and about the meaning of what's going on over there. But the point is, you have the words in the Torah, pen yosef, lest he add, wherever it says pen constitutes a loises there. So therefore, that's a loises there not to hit another yid. And Amar Ami, Amar Yechanan, exactly that. He ko akar shein b'shava pruta. If a person hits somebody else a blow which is not worth a shava pruta, loika, then he gets malchus. And the point of that is v'loy makshin and akol aklola. The point of that being that we don't make a hekesh between hitting and cursing. Now you have when it comes to a parent, the Torah mentions. The Torah mentions you're not allowed to hit them and you're not allowed to curse them. And there you have those comparisons between them. But in Sanhedrin we had a machlokas whether there's considered to be a hekesh between them or not. We actually discussed over there whether we mean a true hekesh or whether we just mean a mamatzinu, but in any case, the point is that if we were to make a comparison between them, we would say, just like with klala, just like with cursing, it's limited only to oisa maisa amcha, as we said before, somebody who's not acting the way a yid does, then there's no issur to curse him. If we were to say that there's a hekesh between that and hitting, then the same thing would be, there's no issur to hit a yid who's not oisa maisa amcha, and then you'd be back to the question of, so what would it mean if a yid hits a kursi, that he would be chayiv malchus, because he wouldn't. But if we say that we don't make that hekesh, in particular, Rashi mentions in Sanhedrin, one reason why not to is because in Parshas Mishpatim, you have the two psukim about hitting a parent and cursing a parent, but there's one other pasuk between them. So is that enough to make a hekesh between them or not? That's the machlokes. So if we say that you don't make that comparison, then the braisa is following that opinion, and therefore saying cursing, yes, a person is chayev only for cursing somebody who's oisim maisa amcha. But hitting, it doesn't matter across the board. Any person who hits a yid is going to be chayev to pay, and if it's less than a shavu pruta, is going to be getting malchus. So that's what the braisa is talking about. So again, and so of the eight cases that we said, so you'd have as follows. You'd have if a kusi kills a yid b'shogeg or a miklot, an eved kills a yid b'shogeg or a miklot, and the same thing the other way around, if a yid does it to a kusi or to an eved, and then as far as the malchus would be, the kusi hits the yid less than a shavu pruta, malchus. The eved hits the yid less than a shavu pruta, malchus. In the same way, vice versa, if the yid does it to them. And then there's all your cases, so therefore we don't have to worry about the fact that a kursi is not oisa maisa amcha, and that an eved is not able to testify and is not able to intermarry into the Jewish people and so forth. Okay, and in any case, this braisa then bears out what it said in the Mishnah, that hakol golin al yidei Yisrael, the Yisrael golin al yidei, and that hakol means the kursi and the eved. Next, the Mishnah had said, chutz me'al yudei ger toshav v'chola, except for a ger toshav. Now, the words al yudei ger toshav would actually mean that a yid is not going into golos for accidentally killing a ger toshav. Now, Gos HaBach takes out the words al yudei and says the word is just supposed to, the quotation from the Mishnah is just supposed to be chutz me ger toshav, with the exception of a ger toshav, because we're going to discuss now in the Gemara what the deal is as far as a ger toshav himself, not as far as a yid who killed a ger toshav, but as far as the ger toshav himself, what are the dinim of when he goes to the onen mitzvah or not? So the Gemara says Alma. So we see from the Mishnah ger toshav ovid kechavim. So we see from the Mishnah that so it sounds like Rashi says at this point we assume it sounds like the Mishnah is being mamayit from both of them, that he doesn't go, that he wouldn't, that there's no such thing as a ger toshav going into golos. If he kills even b'shogeg, then he's getting executed, and also that a Yisrael who kills him by mistake wouldn't go to the Ori Mitzvah. So Alma, so then we would see from that ger toshav over kechavim hu, that a ger toshav is considered like a regular goy, and there's no concept of orim mik, just like there's no concept of orim miklot when it applies to goyim, the same way there wouldn't be when it comes to a ger toshav. Ema sefer, but the question is, look at the sefer of the Mishnah, which is ger toshav golai de ger toshav, that a ger toshav goes into golos for accidentally killing a ger toshav. So then we see that in that case he has the din of a yid. Keep in mind that a ger toshav is someone who has accepted on him. There's actually a machlokas in Masecht Avodah Zarah what it takes for a person to be a ger toshav. The halacha is that he has to accept on himself all shev and mitzvot nenayach, and it only applies, that concept applies only when the yovel is in effect. Only during the time when all the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael, which is most of the time, and until about 100 odd years before Churban Bayis Rishon, when Shevet Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe were taken into Golos, and then briefly afterwards in the times of Yeshayahu, about 100 years later, many of them were brought back, and they had one more Yovel. So then the concept of Ger Toshav would apply only then. After that, you have a Goy may accept on himself the Shevet Mitzvot Menayach, and he's a Chosid Umas Olam, but the special dinim of a Ger Toshav don't specifically apply. In any case, so first the Mishnah is implying that a ger toshav is considered like a goy, like a regular goy who's not accepted these things in front of Beis Din, etc. And that he doesn't, that there's no concept of Orem Miklot with him. But then we're saying that no, he does go into the Orem Miklot for killing another ger toshav. So what's his status exactly? So the answer is Omer of Kan and Aloy Kasha can be Ger Toshav Shahora Ger Toshav can be Ger Toshav Shahora Yisrael. Very simple. It's talking about you have a Ger Toshav killed another Ger Toshav versus a Ger Toshav killed a Yid. He killed a Yid, then there's no, we don't accept anything of Shogeg or anything like that, and he gets executed. But if he killed another Ger Toshav, then he's going to the Ori Miklot. Now, the question is, I mean, that's exactly what the Mishnah itself was saying. So what exactly is Rav Kahana, what exactly is Rav Kahana being mechadish for us? It sounds like basically what Rav Kahana, all Rav Kahana is doing is basically restating what it said in the Mishnah about the difference about the difference within a ger toshav. So Tosfos discusses that point. and says that first Tosfos wants to bring a doichak to dochak lefardish that originally the Gemara had thought that a ger toshav or Yisrael are both completely on the same level, and chutz miger toshav would mean that a ger toshav doesn't go into golos for everyone, unlike a Yisrael, who we said there was also a kusi and an eved involved. If he kills them or they kill him, maybe the detail would be different for a ger toshav. But then that Tosfos points out doesn't really work with the wording of the Mishnah. The golos is a matter of kapara. So what we're saying is the ger toshav. So the ger toshav is entitled to a certain degree of kapara for it. So Tosfos actually deals with the question and then brings that doichak, and then the Gemara, and then Tosfos says that originally the Gemara said if we're saying that a ger toshav is not going to golos for killing a yid, and a yid is not going to golos because of him, then that rent, in other words, he's like a goy gomer. But then in that case, that would mean that even if he kills a ger toshav, he's not going into golos. So then the Gemara is asking from the sefer where it sounds like he does, and therefore Rav Kahana is saying that the Mishnah didn't mean that he's completely like a regular goy. It means that there is a case where a ger toshav goes to an ir miklat, but only in the case where it was another ger toshav. There's further discussion about that. The Ritva goes further and says and explains what is Rav Kahana, and explains further what Rav Kahana's chiddush is. Rav Kahana is saying that all Rav Kahana is saying is that the two dinim of the first he brings from the Ramah that says that all Rav Kahana wants us to know is that the two parts of the Mishnah don't contradict one another, because the Mishnah is saying that a ger toshav, the only case where he goes to the ir miklat, is for killing another ger toshav. So then the Ritva himself goes further and discusses and says that no, when the Mishnah, Rav Kahana is telling us, when it says chutz miger toshav, means, in other words, it just wants to tell us that a ger toshav doesn't go into golos for killing a yid, because for killing a yid there's no kapara for him, so therefore he's gonna have to be killed. But if Yisrael kills a ger toshav, then he would go to the ir miklat. So therefore, in other words, in short, we would say that the result of it would be that if a yid kills a ger toshav, he goes to the ir miklat. If a ger toshav kills a ger toshav, he goes to the ir miklat. But if a ger toshav kills a Yisrael, then he would be executed. That's also the Rambam holds that way. The Ravid actually disagrees and says that no, for he learns the Gemara over here differently. That if a Yisrael kills a ger toshav by accident, he doesn't go to the ir miklat. As far as what happens if the ger toshav kills a Yisrael, now you have the question, does that mean that actually he gets executed? The Ritva leaves it a suffix. The Rambam says that he does get executed, and the Orach HaNer brings that Rashi, that explains Rashi to be saying that he wouldn't. So all told, in other words, if a ger toshav kills a ger toshav for shogeg, there's no question he goes to the Orach Miklat. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If a yid kills a ger toshav, you have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid whether he goes into golos or not. And if a ger toshav kills a Yisrael, then he's for sure not going to the Orach Miklat. But the question is then whether he gets executed for it or not. Where the Rambam holds yes, and the Orach HaNer explains Rashi to be saying that no. So that's also what Rav Kahana is bringing in over here to say, can be goy shaharag begir toshav shaharag Yisrael, can be ger toshav shaharag ger toshav, that is, the Mishnah itself is implying that difference, of course, but Rav Kahana is teaching out that that's what it means, that there is a difference, and a ger toshav is not completely like a regular goy who hasn't accepted Shabbat Nenayah, but he's not completely like a Yisrael either. All right, the Gemara says, Ramini, though I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Lefichach ger v'od kachavim shahogu neherogin. Therefore, continues the Braisa, a ger, which is to say a ger toshav, or a regular goy who kills somebody, does get executed. So, katoni ger do'mi d'ovid kachavim. Now, the Braisa is comparing the ger toshav and the regular goy. Wouldn't that mean ma ovid kachavim loishanot a koto bar mine v'loishanot a koto la bar mine neharag? Now, when it comes to a regular goy, whether he kills whether he kills someone of his own kind, another regular guy, or whether he kills somebody not of his kind, a Ger Toshav or Yisrael. Either way, a regular guy is getting executed for that because he was over on one of his Shev Mitzvahs Nei Noach. And by the Shev Mitzvahs Nei Noach, generally speaking, we don't say the concept of Shoigig, as we learned in Sanhedrin. So it sounds like the Braise is saying, Afger lo shenot akoto bamine, lo shenot akoto dala bamine. It sounds like also it doesn't matter whether the one he killed is a fellow Ger Toshav or not. So either Neharag, he gets executed. So what are you telling me then that the Mishnah is saying that a Ger Toshav will kill the Ger Toshav goes to the Ohr HaMikvah? The answer is Amar Rav Chista like Kasha. There's not a contradiction because Kansha Hoga Derech Yerida, Kansha Hoga Derech Aliyah. Because the Mishnah talking about the Ger Toshav going to the Ohr HaMikvah is where you kill them Derech Yerida, as we learned a couple of days ago, where you have, for example, he was coming down a ladder and fell off, or where he was lowering down a barrel and the barrel and he dropped the barrel and it fell on the other guy and killed him, etc. Where there, as we said, that's considered the kind of shogig that sends a yid to the Ohr HaMikvah, so therefore it sends a Ger Toshav to the Ohr HaMikvah as well. As opposed to the Braisa, Kansha Hoga Derech Aliyah, the Braisa is talking about where he killed him. Derech Aliyah, we're there. Yisrael is Potter from so the Gemara teaches out. Derech Yerida, Yisrael Goli. When it comes to Derech Yerida, where a Yid would go into Golos for that, for killing the Shogig, Ihunami Sagile the Golos. Then therefore, for the Ger Toshav, it's also enough to have the Kapora of Golos, and he doesn't need anything else. Derech Aliyah, the Yisrael Potter. But where it's Derech Aliyah, where had it been a Yid, he would be Potter, as we learned earlier in the parak. Because for a Yid, that's considered more of an onus. Who Nerag, than for the Ger Toshav, on the contrary, we say that he doesn't get the Kapara of, in that case, he can't get the Kapara of going to the Ohr HaMikvah. Therefore instead he gets executed for that. So in that case, Tosfos points out, well then fine, in that case the Ger Toshav is not completely like a regular goy, because the regular goy would be executed whether Derech Aliyah or Derech Yerida. Here you're telling me that the question is, because the Braisa is comparing a Ger Toshav and a goy, and telling us both of them are the same thing, but here you're telling me in the end there is a difference. If it was Derech Yerida, then one's going into Golos and one's getting executed. Tosfos says, fine, still, you can still say that there's the point is, in other words, the comparison is who he killed, whether Bar Mine, whether a fellow Goy or a fellow Ger Toshav, versus not. So that's enough of a comparison that therefore the Gemara is not worried about the fact that within the finer details of the Dinim, there's going to be a difference between them, Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. But Rava says to Rav Chista, "V'lav kavachoy mahu." So you're telling me that by Derech Aliyah, where a Yid would not even go into Golos because it's considered an oinus, for a Ger Toshav we go to the other extreme and we execute him for it. So Rava says to him, or goes to Bach says instead of Rava, it should be Rava. Omalei Rava v'lav kavachoymer who wouldn't it be a kavachoymer? Uma derech yirida di Yisrael goli madoch derech yirida where it's a yid was being careless therefore and he goes into golos iunami sagile begolos and for a Ger Toshav we're saying it would be enough to go into golos derech aliyah di Yisrael potu iu nerag. You tell me by derech aliyah where you're being more lenient on the Yisrael because it's considered to be more of an onus. You tell me that the Ger Toshav would be killed for it. Now, Tosfos says, okay, maybe that's just it. Maybe by Derech Yerida, a Yid is given to Kapara, it's enough for him for Golos. Maybe on the contrary, Derech Aliyah, you're saying maybe it's more stringent, and he doesn't go into Golos, and Golos is not enough for him. But Tosfos says, no, Derech Aliyah is, we're not going to say Derech Aliyah is more careless, and therefore he can't go into Golos because and Golos is not enough for him. On the contrary, it's because, obviously, it was more of an onus, because he's lifting it up, and then it dropped. So therefore, as we learned a few days ago, it's not like gravity, I mean, obviously gravity is involved, but it's not like he could have expected gravity to be involved over here, So therefore, Rava or Rava has a valid point that in that case, based on a kavachoyma like that, how can we be more machmir on the Ger Toshav to the opposite extreme and say that was Derech Aliyah, he's not only going to go to the Ohr HaMikvah, but he's going to be killed for it. How could such a thing be? Okay. So Rovo Rabba doesn't like that explanation. Ella, Oma Rovo, so Rovo Rabba says, he was a different case, but Oimu Mutter. You can have a case where he thinks that it's Mutter, where he thinks that it's Mutter to kill. Meaning, in other words, till now we were talking about Shogig as the person didn't realize somebody else was there. He didn't realize the rope was there. He didn't realize the rope was frayed or whatever. Here we're talking about where he actually thinks that it is mutter to that it's mutter to do this in the first place. So therefore, so Ger Toshev thought that it's that he's mutter to kill. So in that case, then we would consider him amazing. Omer Abaya Omer Mutter Onosu. So Abaya says to him, why? An Omer Mutter shouldn't he be considered an Onos? How could he have known? Omer Leis, so Rava says, on the contrary, Shani Omer Omer Mutter Kodav Amazed. Omer Mutter is practically amazed because he should have learned that such a thing is Osir and he didn't, and therefore we can hold him responsible. So now we're saying, therefore, so if a Ger Toshev is, so we would say, in other words, so Rava is saying not the distinction of Yerida, Derech Yerida versus Derech Aliyah, like we said before. If a Ger Toshev killed Derech Aliyah, then we'd treat him like a regular Yisrael, and we'd say that he doesn't go to the Oni Miklat because it's considered an Onus. But here, where Oyma Mutter, that's considered Kodav Lamezid, therefore we can't send him to the Oni Miklat, therefore we have to, therefore we have to execute him. So the Gemara points out, but also the time Mayu, everybody in this argument, or particularly Rav Chista and Rava in this argument, are going according to their respective svaras. Because whether we say that Oyma Mutter, Rav Chista, who says that to Rav Chista, who says that it was that it's talking about Derech Aliyah and not Oyma Mutter, is he holds like Abaya that Oyma Mutter is onus, and Rava holding the other way around that Derech Aliyah he'll be fine, but Oyma Mutter he's going to be killed. So therefore they're both going according to their own svaras that we find in a different argument. To Itzmar, because we have a different argument related to this. Kesover behema v'nimsa adam. Suppose a person thinks that there's an animal, and he goes that it thinks that whatever's near him is an animal. V'nimsa adam, and he kills it, and it turns out to be a person. Knani v'nimsa ger toshav, or he thinks it's a knani, which is a change of the sensor. It means a regular goy, and it turns out to be a ger toshav. So Rava Omer Chayev, Rava says that he would be Chayev for killing him, that he won't be Chayev Misa, in the case of the Yidu did it, he wouldn't be Chayev Misa, because it's still not Mezid with Eidim Masra, but nevertheless he'd still have to go into Golos. Or maybe he wouldn't have to go into Golos, because instead he'd have to watch himself forever, because the Goyal Adam might get him. So Rava says, Oyma Mutter, Kodav Amazed, because he was Oyma Mutter, he thought that it was Mutter, and in this case, it's not that he thought that killing is allowed, but he thought that he's allowed to kill this creature, because he thought it's a Goy, or he thought it's a regular Goy, or he thought even that it was an animal. So Oyma Mutter, Kodav Amazed, so he's Kodav Amazed, so therefore he should have checked, he should have checked what it is. So Tosfos explains, in other words, the comparison is Rava, who's saying that Oimer Mutter is considered Mazid, the same, because he should have learned the same way over here, he should have looked up and paid attention. Rav Chista Omer Potter, whereas Rav Chista says that he's Potter, Oimer Mutter Onus, who, because to say Oimer Mutter is considered an Onus, and therefore he would be Potter, and because he would be Potter on the grounds of Onus. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eisve Rava Lo Rav Chista. So Rava says to Rav Chista, I have a contradiction for you. I have a contradiction to you that you're telling me that Oimer Mutter, that Oimer Mutter is considered an Oinus. So you're telling me that Oimer Mutter is considered an Oinus. But what about, says Rava, consider the following. You have the story in Parshas Vayera, where Avimelech takes Sora to his palace and thinks that she's Avraham's sister, and then Hashem comes to him in a dream that night and tells him, Hincha Meisala Isha Shalakachta, behold, you are going to die because of this woman that you took. My love, Bidei Adam. Now, doesn't that mean, says Rava, that means that Hashem is telling him, you're going to be Chayev Bidei Adam, because you took an Eishes Ish. Now this is Oimer Mutter. He thinks that she's Mutter. And nevertheless, Hashem is telling him, you're going to be punishable Bidei Adam. So therefore we see that Oimer Mutter is considered Korol Amazin. And since Avimelech is a regular Goy, he's not even a Ger Toshav, then he's going to be killed for it, because by a Goy, there's no such thing as the concept of Shoyim. So this sort of Chista answers him, no, loy bidei shemayim. Hashem means he's going to be chayy bidei shemayim. In fact, De Kanami, in fact, we can see that because the pasuk continues, Mechatoi Li, that Hashem says, yeah, that I prevented you from sinning against me. So we see, in other words, that it's not something that would have been B'dinei Adam, it's considered something B'dinei Shemayim. The Ritva points out that wait a minute, if we're saying that Oyim Mutter is onus to, if Chista holds that it's considered an oinus, then why is he even chayav b'dinei shamayim? And he says because maybe there might be a difference in this regard between Yisrael, between Jews and Bnei Noach, by Ben Noach, maybe that kind of onus is potter medina odam, fine, but he'd still be chayav b'dinei shamayim, whereas by Yid, he wouldn't have been chayav b'dinei shamayim. And second of all, also, that he's telling him that it is a little more kodav amazed because you should have asked, you should have found out what her actual status is rather than assuming. There is furthermore on that. The Oruch HaNer points out that actually Hashem is coming before he ever touched Sarah. And he's telling him that, he's telling him, Hin Chameis, you're gonna die, meaning what Hashem is telling him, if you touch her, then, well, once he's, if he touches her, he's gotten warning from Hashem, so then for sure he's Chayab in Dine Adam. So what's the Gemara's proof over here? How is this a case of Oyma Mutter? So the Oruch HaNer explains that Hashem is telling him that, listen, I did you a great favor, I'm telling you, but this before you actually touched her. Had you touched her, then you would have been Chayab, then you would, so Rava is saying, since Oyma Mutter is Kodav Lamezit, then you would have been chayav misavidei adam at this point. So I did you a favor. So this way you're not chayav for oyma mutter. Meanwhile, according to Rav Chista, Hashem is telling him that you would have been chayav b'dinei shamayim, and therefore I'm telling you proactively before you ever touch her. There's also actually some discussion why isn't he chayav misa for kidnapping Sarah. And the Rama mentions, for example, that when Shechem kidnapped Dinah, then that made him and the whole city of Shechem complicit in it, and they were Chayiv Misa, and therefore Shimon and Levi, when they destroyed the city, they were justified in it, so why wouldn't we say the same thing over here because Avimelech kidnapped Sarah? So the Arachayim HaKadosh explains that it's not considered kidnapping because he actually thought that he's honoring her. He thought she's Avraham's sister, and he thought he's going to honor her by taking her as his queen. So Hashem is telling him that no, she's married, and therefore never mind the kidnapping. But the fact is, she's married, and therefore you have no business with her, and therefore you have Oyma Mutter. A similar point as well, that the Siach Yitzchak makes a point that here Avraham himself tricked him into thinking that he's his sister. Both Avraham and Sarah are telling him that she's his sister, and therefore that doesn't make Avimelech guilty for the kidnapping, but it does once he's informed that she's an Ashish. So Rav Chista is saying that it means only bidei shemayim. Well, the Gemara says v'litai mech, according to your svara, whenever it says an expression of sinning to Hashem, then it means it's only bidei shemayim. What about later on when Yosef is resisting Potiphar's wife and he tells her v'chatosi leilakim, that if I were to listen to you, then I'd be sinning against Hashem? What do you mean leilakim v'leila adam? Doesn't mean only against Hashem, not a person. No, if Yosef were to have relations with her, of course he'd be chayav b'dinei adam as well. So we see just because it says a word chet in connection with Hashem or in connection with Li doesn't mean that it's only bidei shemayim. So what's Rav Chista saying? That in the case of Avimelech, mechatoi li shows that it means that it was bidei shemayim. Ela dinei mosel adam. On the contrary, with Yosef, it means if he were to do it, it would have been given over to people to punish him. Hachanami dinei mosel adam. The same way over here with Avimelech, then you would have to say that it means that the punishment is given over to bidei adam. So that would be more like what Rava is saying, that oyma mutter is considered kodav lemezid. So, not that he's considered an oinus. So you can't really prove by Avimelech whether he was, what the deal was, what he would have been, what, to what degree he would have been chayev. The Gemara says, Eisa Abaya l'Rava. So in turn, Abaya asks Rava from that same story. Avimelech in the dream sort of starts out by saying to Hashem, now what happened? You have, as soon as they brought Sarah to the palace, then everybody over there was struck with a disease over there that Rashi mentions based on the Gemara and Baba Kama. All their bodily orifices were stopped up. Nobody could have relations. Nobody could go to the bathroom. Nobody could anything. And then, And then Hashem comes to Avi Melech in this dream and tells him, Hin Chames, yes, you're going to die because this woman is a married woman. And Avi Melech tries to defend himself, and he says, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarig. He says, would you even kill an innocent, righteous nation? So he's arguing, in other words, that he's a tzaddik. Now the Gemara assumes that Hashem is agreeing to him. That Hashem is conceding, yes, you are a tzaddik. However, in this case, you better return her, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. As Hashem says, I know that you did this with a certain innocence that you didn't realize what's going on over here. So it sounds like Hashem is conceding that point, and therefore that would mean that Oymim Mutter would be considered an onus. Tosfos, by the way, brings a girsa that's earlier in the a couple of lines earlier when the Gemara had said, dinim mosel adam hachanami dinim mosel adam. Tosfos brings rather a girsa dinim mosel shemayim that v'chatosi lelekim. So in other words, mechatoli means that Avimelech would have been chayiv only in dinim shemayim. And then what about the expression by Yosef and Potiphar's wife? Also, it would be Vidin Shemayim, because the fact is there were no Edom over there. So therefore, it would only be a Din Shemayim. Going back to the case of Avimelech, the reason would be because he didn't know that she's an Eishes Ish until Hashem informed him. So Abaye is asking Rava that you see that when the pasuk says Goy Gam Tzadik Tarig, and it sounds like Hashem is agreeing with him and saying you're right, you're a tzaddik. However, nevertheless, now that you know that she's a married woman, then you better return her. No, on the contrary, Hashem replies to him. No, ba'ata hoshev eshes ish ki navi hu. Now return the man's wife that because he's a navi. So in other words, Hashem is telling him. No, you're not such a tzaddik. You should have learned that such a thing is also in the first place, and therefore Hashem is warning him, you better return her, and if not, then you're going to be chayev. In other words, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, Hashem is telling Avimelech, you should have learned from Avraham. Now, why do you say Kinovihu? The Gemara is going to go on to explain that you should have learned from Avraham that this is not the proper way to behave to people, to start asking about the woman with them, what her status is, which led you into all of this. So, meanwhile, Rav Chista doesn't hold of that Dirosha, says Tosfos, and therefore therefore Rav Chista would still hold that Hashem is telling him, fine, you didn't know, but nevertheless, you better return her now, otherwise you're going to be Chayiv Misa. In other words, that Oymim Mutter would still be honest, as Rav Chista is saying. Marsha discusses this further and saying that what do you mean? Rav Chista may well hold of that drasha that you should have learned better. That no, Hashem is not telling him that you're a tzaddik. No, on the contrary, you are chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Even Rav Chista agrees that he'd be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, as we just said, because. No, the drasha further is going to say neherag, which implies that the bidei adam. So all he's saying is that no, it would be bidei shemayim, but nevertheless, he should have learned that such a thing is also. So the Gemara says, why the expression ki novihu? Why is Hashem mentioning the point that he's a novi? Eishes novihu de tahader, de lav novi lo tahader. You're telling me that only if she's a wife of a novi, then he has to return her to her husband, and if not, then not. Why mention the point of the novi? Rather, what it means is Hashem is telling him, mentioning that Avraham is a Navi, to explain to him the point that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, Hashem is telling him this, you have to return her no matter what because she's a married woman. Now you're protesting that I'm a tzaddik and I didn't do anything wrong, and why are you punishing me? The answer is hello, and you're going to say that because after all, who amali achosi hivchola? Because after the gomer, he said that she's my sister, and she said that I'm his sister, etc. And therefore, I didn't know better. No, Hashem tells him novihu. You should know that because Avraham is a novi. It means umim cholamad. He learned from you. He realized from the way that you're speaking that he better say that she's his sister. Because Achsenai Achsenai who Shabola ir when a guest comes to the city, Al Iskachilo Shia Shoilanoi. So aren't people supposed to be asking him? People should be asking him about food and drink. Do you have enough food? Do you have do you have food? Do you have drinks? And if not, then we'll help you. Klum Shoilanoi say Ishta Chazu Achos Chazu. Since when are they asking him whether she's his sister or whether she's his wife or whether she's his sister? So Avram is saying because he's a Navi, therefore he realized, based on what you're saying, that his life is in danger if he says that she's his wife, and therefore Hashem is telling him, so therefore you're not so innocent in this regard, because you shouldn't have brought up such a, you and your people shouldn't be bringing up such questions in the first place. So thus we can learn from this, that a Ben Noach can be killed for something where he should have learned, and he didn't, and therefore he's held responsible for the not learning. So according to Tosfos, Rav Chista doesn't hold of that Jerusha, therefore Rav Chista says that he is Chayev only b'dinei shamayim. According to Marsha, he would hold of the Drasha. He would just say that you can't say that Neharag, because Neharag suggests specifically b'dei Adam, and Rav Chista would hold that he's not Chayev b'dinei Adam. Elsewhere, when the Gemara brings this point, is actually the Gemara mentions it in a different lashon, that Avraham, being a Navi, where the word Navi also means a spokesman, he was going around and teaching people the proper way to treat guests, which is that when a guest comes into town, you ask him about Achil or Shia, you don't start asking him about his female companion, whether it's his wife or his sister. In any case, that's why Hashem is mentioning the point that he's a Navi. There was a cute vote also in the Sefer Chanukah Satorah from Reb Heschel of Lublin. He says another idea why Hashem is mentioning to Avimelech that Avraham is a Navi. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that Sarah was an Eiloinus. Was an Eiloinus. She was a woman who her body never physically matures in certain ways, and she's infertile. Later on, the Gemara says Hashem made a nest and made her able to have children. Now, normally, a man marries an Eiloinus. If he doesn't know about it, then usually it's Kedushe Tos, and there's not a valid marriage over here. So therefore, Avimelech could use that as an excuse. Well, she's not really an Eishes Ish. Hashem tells him, no, Ki Navi Hu, he knew to begin with that she's an Eiloinus by Nevuah, and nevertheless he married her, and therefore it's a fully valid marriage. The Rambam paskins like Rava that Oymer Mutter is Kodav Lamezid. On the other hand, so there's so like Rava. On the other hand, the Rambam also says over there that there is a case of Shogig by Ben Noach where he thinks that a woman is not married and he has relations with her and it turns out that she's married. So here, in other words, again, Avimelech was being misled into thinking that she's not an Eishes Ish, because Avraham had told him that she's a sin. Avraham and Sarah had both told him, and as Rashi points out of it, even all their servants and everything had all backed it up and said that she's a sister, and therefore it's not even, so therefore, they're not, so yes, we do say Oymer Mutter is Kodav Lamezid, but in this case, Avimelech is in a way even less than Oymer Mutter, because he was actually misled into thinking that she's not married. The Mishnah says, Asuma, if a blind person kills somebody accidentally, Eine Gole does not go into Golos, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, so says Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll learn in the Gemara why. Rabbi Meir says he would go into Golos. Next, Hasone Eine Gole, if a person hates somebody else, and then he kills him b'shoigig, the usual definition of Hasone is that he hasn't spoken to him for 3 days or more because he hates him. So then if he kills the other person b'shoigig, or he claims that it was b'shoigig, so then he doesn't go into Golos. Rabbi Yossi says on the side over here, because we learned the other day that's not regular Rabbi Yossi, is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. This is Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. So before, the Gemara had pointed out a few days ago a seeming contradiction between them, but then the Gemara had explained that in our Mishnah it's actually Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. So there are Gersois that actually put that explicitly in the Mishnah over here. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda says, Hasson in Nerag, on the contrary, he would actually be killed for killing the other person, Mipneshu Kamuad, because he's considered like Muad, he's considered like he was already warned. And the fact that he killed the other person is very likely because he's a Soine, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't always need Hasra. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says it depends. Yesh Sona Gola, V'yesh Sona Shena Gola. Reb Shimon says it's going to depend on the situation. It's going to depend on what the circumstances were when he killed the other person. The rule would be kosher yocholomel adas harag. In any case where we have reason to think that he killed him deliberately, ain't a gola that he doesn't go into golos because then there's a chashad that he did it deliberately. Shaloy ladas harag. But if he killed in a way that's clearly shaloy ladas, then he would go into golos because then there's no way that we can say that he did it deliberately, as we'll see in the Gemara examples of what Reb Shimon means. The Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda that says that he doesn't go into that the Sona doesn't go into Golos, but that would mean because we have reason to think that he might have done it b'mezid, but no, so we can't send him to the Orem Miklat, but we can't execute him either because he do need Hasira. Okay. So the most ton on our bottom, we learn in a braisa, when the Posik said the Posik describes in Parshas Maaseh all the details of a Ritzeach b'mezid or b'shoigig. So the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes where he kills a person accidentally, below the ois, without seeing. That means, practice summa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that means to exclude a blind person. He couldn't see in the first place. In other words, here we're talking about below the ois. He could have seen him, and here he didn't look. But as Rashi says, kan lo ra, he didn't see over here, avo roya b'mokam acha, but he can see elsewhere, as opposed to a blind person who can't see anywhere. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Meir, I mean, below the ois, the rabbis is a summa. Reb Meir says, on the contrary, the word below the ois comes to include a blind person. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda using those words as a mute? So the answer is dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, where it also talks about the Ritzeach B'Shogeg, and the expression is, Vashe Yoves Re'ehu Bayar, where he comes with somebody else in the forest. And the pasuk doesn't specify over there. It doesn't say anything about seeing or not seeing. So that would mean even a blind person goes into the forest to chop wood or whatever, and he kills the other person. Then he'd be chayav golos. Also, below the ois mate, so Rabbi Yehuda says, then the wood below the ois is a miut, which then excludes that if he kills him b'shogeg, that because he's blind, he wouldn't go to the Orem Miklat. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir answers that. Below the ois lamayit, but also you have bivli das lamayit. You also have a pasuk in Shoftim that it says that he killed him bivli das without knowledge. Well, then you have two miyotim, having miyotach miyot. So therefore you have two miyotim, one after the other. Vein miyotach miyot al rabbis, and a miyotach miyot always comes to add. So therefore, on the contrary, the words below the ois add back in the blind person. If you just had bivli das, then it would mean he didn't. How could he have known the other person? There, therefore, he'd be falter. If you only had below the ois, but since you have both of them, then on the contrary, it means that then it means you have a miut acha miut, and therefore you're including him. Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, "Bevlidas prapam eskavenu da'asa." The words "bevlidas" come to exclude a person who meant to hit one thing and hit somebody else, as we looked previously, where, for example, he meant to hit an animal and he accidentally and the stone or whatever accidentally went the wrong way and killed a person. Where there we said that's not considered shogeg, so and he doesn't go to the Orem Miklat, and he's gonna have to watch his back from the Goyel Adam. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not excluding a blind person, that's just excluding that kind of case, where you didn't pay attention. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not being mimayit. It's a blind person, therefore we only have one miut, and therefore we're mimayit a blind person. I'm indeed passing like Rabbi Yehuda that a blind person doesn't go into Golos because of this miut. All right. The Mishnah had said Rabbi Yossi ema son in there, Agkola. Rabbi Yossi had said that if a person hates somebody else and then kills him seemingly b'shogeg, then he's actually chayav misa, because it's very likely, because the Mishnah had said shareu kamuad, because he's considered like as though he was already warned. So the Gemara says, wait, v'holai asrubei. The fact is they didn't give masra. The answer is Masnissin Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudahi. The answer is our Mishnah follows the opinion that Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah is not regular Rabbi Yossi, which is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalakta, but rather Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudah. Whereas we said, Rabbi Yossi, as we said, there are Gersois that actually stick that in the Mishnah. Anyway, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, as we learned previously, in a Braise, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Chover in a Tzorach Asra, a Chover, a Tamar Chacham, does not require Asra, Shalom Nitna Asra, Lafish Lom Nitna Asra, El Alahav can make Shogig Lamezid, because the whole point of Asra is to know whether he's a Shogig or a Mezid, and a Tamar Chacham, we know that he knows what he's doing. So the same way over here, since he's a Sone, the likelihood is that he killed the Mezid, and therefore he'd be Chayiv Misa, even without Asra. The Ritva actually adds, we would have to be talking about that he's not only a Sone, he's also a Tamar Chacham. The fact is that if he's a Sone but not a Tamar Chacham, he still may not know that it's also. That would be a case of Oyma Mutter, and fine, we would say it's Kotel Lamezid, but nevertheless not actual Mezid, but so therefore it has to be there as a Tamad Chacham, and according to Rabbi Yossi, and it's according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda. Or rather, actually, the Ritva explains, in other words, it wouldn't even be Oyma Mutter, he might have thought the other person is a Goy, for example, and that he wouldn't be Chayiv Misa for him, and therefore, so we would require that he's a Tamad Chacham as well. Actually, no, sorry, I'm misreading that. What the Ritva is saying is that it is talking about that he's a Tamar Chacham, and it is true that a Tamar Chacham doesn't need Asra, but you have to inform him that this person is a Yisra, otherwise he might think that it's a Goy, and he might be Potter on those grounds. But again, in the case of the Sone over here, it would have to be that he's a Sone and a Tamar Chacham. Next, the Mishnah had said, Rav Shimon Omer Yesh Sone Goyla V'chola. Rav Shimon had said there's a distinction within a Sone himself, whether he goes into Golos or not. It depends, the Mishnah had said, whether it's Yochol Loim L'Das or not. So Tani, we learn Rav Raisa, Ketzed Omer Rav Shimon Yesh Sone Goyla V'yesh Sone She'ena Goyla. What does Rav Shimon mean? What kind of distinction are we talking about? For example, Nifsak Goyla. For example, if the rope snapped, then we would say that's considered a shogeg, and then he would go into golus. Nishmat, but if he dropped the rope and therefore the barrel fell on the other person, ain't a golus, then he wouldn't go into golus, because we have reason to think that when he dropped it, it may have been pretend accident, but really on purpose. So when the rope snaps, he couldn't have known that's going to happen, but the Gemara says, Vartanya, but we learn in another Braisa, Rav Shimon Omer La'olam Ein Gola Ad Shi Shomet Machtzoloi Mi Yadoi. Braisa says that Rav Shimon says that no, he doesn't go into Golos unless he drops the whole Machtzoloi. The Machtzoloi is the Magila that we learned at the beginning of the Perek, that tool, that roller or whatever that people would use to smooth and plaster their roofs. So Rav Shimon says that only if he dropped the whole thing and Rashi explains, in other words, because sometimes you have a magila, which is the roller that we're talking about. Other times, instead you use machzoloi, also known as machzolayim, as machlatzayim, machzolayim, which is called, Rashi translates as a trowel. You have like a triangular shaped tool that professionals use to apply plaster. That's called machlatzayim in Lashon Kodesh, and here the word machlatzay is from the same Shodesh. Matzoloi, whatever. So kashin nifsek an nifsek, kashin nishmat an nishmat. So in that case, then you seem to have a contradiction as far as whether the rope snaps or not, and as far as dropping it. Because the first braise is saying that nifsek is not going into golos, because the rope snapped and he couldn't have known that was going to happen. Whereas Nishmat, we said there's a reason to think that he did it purposely and pretended that it was an accident. And then the second Braisa is saying that on the contrary, only when he dropped the tool, only then does he go into Golos. The Nifsak and Nifsak Lakasha. So there's no contradiction between the two cases of Nifsak, whether the rope snapped. Because one's talking about a friend and the other's talking about an enemy. Meaning, in other words, that when it comes to Nifsak, when we're talking about that, when we say that even an enemy would go into Golos because of Nifsak, and certainly an Oyev, that would be, Rashi explains, that would be according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rav Shimon. So now, we learned a few days ago, we had the case where the axe head came off the handle and then flew off and killed, then he would go into Golos. So now, the same thing over here, the Nifsak would also be similar. The rope snapped, and it would be similar to that he still has something in his hand. Just like over there, he has the axe handle in his hand. He here he has part of the rope still in his hand. So therefore, so by an oyev or a sone, so by so therefore he would so 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 therefore he would be so therefore he'd be going into Golos. So now you have different gear stories over here. Rashi brings that there. So Rashi brings that the correct gear say is actually nifsakan and goes abach. Also changes it accordingly. That instead of nifsak and nifsak, it's supposed to say nifs, nishmat and nishmat, like Kasha. Where he dropped it, then there's no contradiction, because kan ba'oyev kan ba'sone. One's talking about where he's an enemy and the other one is a friend. Where he's an enemy, there's reason to think that he dropped it deliberately, whereas when he, when it was an oyev, then we can assume that he dropped it accidentally. Nishmat and nishmat, like Kasha, really it's supposed to be nifsak and nifsak. Ho Rebbe, ho Rabbanon, because you'd have the different opinions of Rebbe and the Rabbanon about the axe head, whether if the axe head flies off, whether he's chayev golos or not, where we learned previously that Rebbe holds he's not, and the Chacham holds he is. So therefore you'd have the same here, where the rope snaps is a similar kind of thing, because, whether he's still holding part of the rope. So only if he drops the whole thing, then it would be like mina etza misbakeya, then it would be like that case where a piece of wood flew off where he wasn't touching the wood at all, and it came off from the force of the blow. So it would come out. In other words, Rashi explains that according to that girsa, and Rashi prefers that girsa, and he says he found it in Shavas HaGoinim, then it would mean, if according to Rebbe's understanding of Reb Shimon, a sone would never go into Golos, because the only case where he could go into Golos is where Nifsak, but then Rebbe himself holds. By Nifsak, he's also not going into Golos, because that's not similar, because that's similar to the axe head flying off, so here, part of and he's still holding the handle, and here the rope snapped, and part of it is still in his hand. Rashi brings up the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara is actually, Rashi says, Meshubeshesi. The girsa in our Gemara is wrong. What the people think, whoever had that girsa, thinks that there's a similarity between nishmat, the word nishmat, which can mean to drop the rope, versus the axe head flying off, but there's a big difference. In one of them, you're not holding anything, and the other one, you are holding something. And also, how could you say that? Necessarily, Rashi points out, when we're saying nifsak, that if the rope snapped, he goes into Golos, would have to be, it says clearly, it's talking about Sonya. So you can't say that within Nifsak itself, you can't say within Nishmat itself, you're gonna make a difference between Oyev and Sone, as we have in front of us in the Gemara, between Nifsak, because then it wouldn't matter. An Oyev or Sone, he's still going to Golos either way when Nifsak, when the rope snapped. So Nishmat, Rashi says also it wouldn't really work. So no, you have to flip around the Girsa, which is the way Rashi has it. Tosfos also follows that Girsa as well, and they explain that the question is, so according to Rebbe, what would be the case if a Sone goes into Golos, where again, Rashi said, so Rashi just said very simple, according to Rebbe's understanding of Reb Shimon, he never would. So Tosfos says that still, Rebbe would say, let's say, for example, the person himself fell off. Now, in the case of picking up a barrel, of lowering a barrel and the rope and dropping the rope versus the rope getting snapped or whatever, you can distinguish between an oyev and a sone. You can say that a sone, in the case of where he dropped it, we would have to say it's kod of lamezid, and in the case where the rope snapped, then Rebbe would say that's similar to the axe head flying off, where Rebbe had previously said that he's not chayav golos for that. But here, Tosfos says, let's say the person himself fell off the roof on the other guy and killed him. For sure, he wasn't going to make himself fall off the roof where he himself might get killed just in order to kill the other guy. Then, therefore, we can assume, even according to Rebbe, that he didn't know that was going to happen, and therefore, even a sone would go into golos according to Rebbe. So it comes out, according to Tosfos, you can find a scenario, according to Rebbe, even following the opinion of Reb Shimon, that a sone would go into golos, a case like that. So again, so There are Rishonim who do accept the Girsa, as we have in front of us. The Rabbi Hananel has it, for example, and the Ramban brings the Ramban explains that the first Braisa had said that if the rope snaps, he goes into Golos, but if he drops it, he's not going into Golos. So Nishmat, he explains, doesn't mean that he dropped the rope completely. It would mean Nishmat Abaus and Mikato. It would mean that case where the axe head flies off, where he couldn't have expected that, or where the pail fell off the rope, and then you would say even by a sone, you could say that he would go into Golos. So the answer would be so Nishmat and Nishmat like Kasha. So the answer would be that one case is talking about where he dropped the tool and isn't holding anything, whereas the other one is talking about, let's say, for example, the axe head or the barrel fell off and he's still holding the rope. So then by an oihev, we can assume that it was ba'oines, and by a sonim, we have to assume that it was b'shoigig. And then he goes on in a similar way with nifsak. So the Ramban brings an explanation that you could find for the Gemara, the girsa that we have, over here. Although the Ramban asks on that, in that case, how would we ever count the sonim as a shoigig? In that case, we have reason, either we're going to think that it was an oines, or we're going to think it was ladas. So how would we have a case where we consider it shoigig? So then Ramban ends up saying that we should follow Rashi's Girsa. The Mishnah says, Laheichan Golin, where does the person go into Golos to? Where are the places where he goes into Golos? So the Ori Mikvot, he goes to the Ori Mikvot. L'sholosh of Eivra Yarden, l'sholosh of Eretz Knan. You have three that are in Eivra Yarden, and you have three that are in Eretz Knan and Eretz Yisrael proper. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eish Shloisha Orem Titnum Eivra Yarden. Three cities you should set aside on Eivra Yarden. Ve'es Shloisha Orem Titnum Eretz Knan, and three you should set up in the land of Knan. Continues the mission. Adshalay nivcharu sholosh shav Eretz Yisrael loyhu sholosh shav Eivra Yarden kultus. Until the three in Eretz Yisrael were chosen, the three in Eivra Yarden were not effective. They wouldn't be an asylum. They wouldn't be a secure place for Ritzeach B'Shoigin. Shenema sheish orim miklat tiyana. But the pasuk says there should be six orim miklat adshi yusheshdan kultus gachas. So it has to be that all six of them are available to be koilet, and only then do they work. There's an interesting thing. There's a sefer of Shavuos called Divrei Yitziv from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He has a truva where he deals with a couple of things in our Mishnah. He says, first of all, why does the Mishnah begin with Laheichan Goylem L'Orei Miklat? Why not just say Goylem L'Orei Miklat? And he says, because later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to explain like this. We're going to learn, you have the six main Orei Miklat, then you have the other 42 cities of Levium, which are also function as Orei Miklat, as the Gemara is going to explain. But one difference is, we're going to learn at the end of the parak, Ritzeach in the six main ones does not have to pay rent. In the other 42, he does. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, Laheichan Golin, where would Ritzeach, B'shoigig, prefer to go to, if he has a choice, La'orei Miklat, to the main six Orei Miklat, because then he knows, he may be thinking longer term, that then he wants to pay rent for living there. Whereas if he goes to one of the other 42, why does the Mishnah need to mention the point and the Rambam even brings it lahalacha, that until all six are designated, none of them function. My dahavahava, it's a done deal, it's already something in past history. Why do we need to know it? And why do we need to know it as a matter of halacha? So he says, because maybe what it means is if one of them becomes unavailable for whatever reason, the city gets destroyed or whatever, then they have to designate a different one, then for the time being, until they do, the other five don't work either. Similar to over here, we're saying that that when three of them, before three of them were chosen, the other three weren't in effect. The same way, if one of them in a later time becomes unavailable, then the other five are not in effect. The sixth Orei Miklat, by the way, the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch brings in his introduction, you have something called Sheish Mitzvahs Tzmidius. You have six constant mitzvahs that a Yid always has, to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, to know that Hashem is one, etc. And he says, a simon for it is Sheish Orei Miklat. The Rebbe talks about a couple of sichas about why the Sefer HaChinuch chose that that particular thing. You have other things in Torah that involve the number six, and he explains because basically these six mitzvot shminis help save a yid from falling into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, who's compared to a goyel adam, who's always after a person to try to harm him. So therefore, so that here the just like the Orem Mikvah protect the Ritzeach B'Shogeg from the goyel adam, the same way these six mitzvot shminis protect the person from the Yetzer Hara. And it goes on to point out also that six v'chalas do with the regular order of things, and then Shabbos, just like you have six regular work days, and Shabbos, which is beyond all that, the same way you have six mitzvahs t'midias, the six orei mikvah, and then you have a level which is higher than all of that, a level where a person doesn't even have to worry about the Yetzer Hara. The Mishnah continues. There were roads, there were straight roads, make sure that the roads are straight and well paved from any place in Eretz Yisrael to go to the Orem Mikvah so that the Ritzeach can get there as soon as possible.
Mizulizu means somewhere to where?
Mizulizu means from one place to another, from any place in Eretz
Yisrael. Which place?
Any place in Eretz Yisrael, there had to be roads leading to the Orem Mikvah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Tochen l'chaderach, prepare for yourself the road, v'shilash d'v'gomer, and split Eretz Yisrael into three, and then as we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, how the Orem Mikvot were divided in Eretz Yisrael. So we see that the roads have to be prepared, and Beis Din is responsible for making sure. The Mishnah at the beginning of Shkolim mentions that every year in the middle of Adar, Beis Din would go. By that time, it's basically the end of the rainy season, so Beis Din would go out and check the condition, would send people to check the conditions of the roads and fix them as necessary. When a Ritzeach B'Shogeg is running away to the Orem Mikvah, then the Beis Din would assign two Tamar Chachamim to go along with him, Shema Yaugenu Baderech, lest the Goyel Adam kill him on the way. The Yidabru Elev, instead, the Tamar Chachamim will talk to the Goyel Adam and try to convince him not to kill, because after all, it was B'Shogeg. Reb Meir says that he can also speak up for himself. He doesn't have to rely on the Tamar Chachamim to do it for him. He can speak up for himself. Afu Medabra Al Yatzmei would mean that Reb Meir agrees that you have the Tamar Chachamim. He's just saying he doesn't have to leave it exclusively to them. He can also present arguments in his defense and see if the Goyel Adam would listen. Without the word af, it means that Reb Meir is saying you don't need the Tamar Chachamim. He can speak up for himself. Shenem of Zed Dvar HaRitzeach, as the pasuk says, this is the word of the Ritzeach. So we see that the Ritzeach himself speaks, and that the Ritzeach himself speaks and tries to speak up on his behalf. So again, Rambam explains in Pirush HaMishnayos that you have a machlokas over here. Do the Tamar Chachamim have to speak up on his behalf, or not? The Tamar Chachamim say yes. The Chachamim are saying yes, and Rameo says that they don't need to do that. Let the Ritzeach speak for himself. So that would mean we don't have the word af. So it would mean whom adaba ideas, right? But when we have the word af, then Rameo is saying that the Tamar Chachamim can speak, and you have the two Tamar Chachamim, but he's saying that in addition, also the Ritzeach himself should try to talk to the Goyel Adam and try to talk to him. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, but Tchila, Echad Shoyig, Echad Mezid, Machdimim La'orim Mikvah. To begin with, whether he killed B'Shoyig or B'Mezid, either way, he starts by running away to the Orem Mikvah. Beis Din summons him and brings him from there. So that would be, in other words, the Beis Din of the place where he killed. There is obviously a Beis Din in the Ir Miklat itself, but they still, he has to be tried in the Beis Din of the place where he killed. So, bring him over there. Mishin is Chayiv Misa B'Beis Din. If it turns out that he's Chayiv Misa, there were Edim and Asra, Horaguhu, then they would kill him. If he's not chayiv misa, patruhu, then he's completely potter. It was an oynas, then he's potter completely, and the goyel adam can't get him. Mishin is chayiv golos, and if he's chayiv golos, machziru noisalim kaimer, then they send him back to the imiklat shenema, as the pasuk says, they shivu oiso eda al imiklat v'gemer, the eda, meaning the beis din sends him back to the imiklat, so sends him back implies that he was there already, says Rav Yosef Yehuda. So the Gemara starts off discussing how these cities were arranged. Tananam Banon, Sholish Orem Hivdo Moshe Be'Evra Yarden, Moshe designated three cities in Evra Yarden, Okinegdan, Hivdo Yoshua Be'Eretz Kanan, Yoshua designated three cities corresponding to them in Eretz Kanan, Umchuvonus Hoyu, Kimin Shte Shuris Shabakerim. They were parallel to one another like two rows in a vineyard. Chevron Be Yehuda Kineged Betzer Baminbar, so Chevron Yehuda was in the south, on the same latitude as Betzer in the desert in the territory of Reuben. Shem Bahar Ephraim Kenegad Romis Bagilod, Kedesh Bahar Naphtali Kenegad Golan Baboshan. So the three that Moshe designated, Yoshua looked for cities that are exactly opposite them in Eretz Yisrael proper. When the Pasuk says Vishilashta, the Pasuk says you should divide in three, that means Hiyum Shaloshim, that means that you divide Eretz Yisrael into threes, means Shehem Dorim L'Chevron Kim Chevron L'Shem. So you do like this. So you do the distance from the southern border to Chevron has to be equal to the distance from Chevron to Shem, or Mechevron L'Shem Kim Shem L'Kedesh. From there to Kedesh is the same distance, or Meshem L'Kedesh Kim Kedesh L'Tzofen. And from there, from Shem to Kedesh, should be the same distance as from Kedesh to the northern border, to the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, Vishilashta means that, what you do is you make, so Rashi explains, Vishilashta means you're actually dividing Eretz Yisrael into four. But what you're doing is, then you have one Ir Miklat at the junction between each of those four, quarters, so it comes out therefore that you have the same distance between one Ir Miklat and the next, and the same distance between the two edge ones to the edges of Eretz Yisrael. There are other Mephoshim on the Pasuk who explain the Shilashta differently. Some of them explain it means you actually do divide it into three, and therefore it would mean that, so therefore you divide it into three, and you have an Imiklut in the middle of each section, and that would mean not like the Gemara over here, it would mean the distance from Chevron to the southern border is half of the distance from Chevron to Shem. So there's a good deal of discussion about that among Mephoshim on the Pasuk. So the Gemara asks, the Evra Yarden Tlas, the Eretz Yisrael Tlas. What's the logic that Tosfos actually mentions in this connection that in a different Gemara also you find the word Meshulosh, which has to be explained in the same way. That it means you divide it into four, and then you have a one thing at the junction between one section and the next, one at the border between the first and second section, one between the second and the third, one between the third and the fourth. And that comes out, like we're saying, in our Gemara. So the Gemara asks, the Evra Yarden Tlas, the Eretz Yisrael Tlas. You're telling me that there are three in Eretz Yisrael proper and three in Evra Yarden. What's the logic? You have nine and a half Shvatim, ten Shvatim, Rashi says, in Eretz Yisrael proper. You have only two and a half in Evra Yarden. So while population-wise, there are many more people in Eretz Yisrael proper, why are you assigning three whole cities to Evra Yarden? Now, and Mephoshim discuss the question about this, because what's the problem? The Gemara says later that all the cities of Levium are kolot, they all work as Ori Mikla, and if you look at the actual number of cities in Sefer Yoshua, where it lists the cities that were actually given to all the Levium, it comes out, then you have the exactly proportional. Most Shvatim gave four cities each, so therefore you have altogether 10 cities, the three main ones, and then seven other ones, in Evra Yarden, you have 36 and 12, 36 on one side, 12 on the other, and therefore it is more proportionate. So what's the Gemara's problem? That Ramban actually brings up that question, and Ramban actually learns that not like the Gemara is going to say later on, that all 48 cities worked as Ari Miklat, he learns that only the six worked as Ari Miklat. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Then you have three and three, and it seems to be disproportionate. The Radvaz explains how come the Ramban disagree with the Gemara. He says because the Yerushalmi supports him, because the Yerushalmi doesn't say like the Bavli and doesn't say that the other 42 are Kurdish. So the question is that why are we having three on each side? The answer is Amar Abaya, the Gilad Shchichi Rotzchim, because in Gilad, which is in Evra Yarden, murderers are more prevalent. Now, you have a lot of questions in that case, then why, not that when they first designated the cities, there were lots of Rotzchim there, but then Ramban explains, in other words, Hashem knew that that kind of place is conducive to Rotzchim. Now, you have the famous question that everybody asks in that case, fine, what's the difference? We're talking about Rotzchim and Mezid, that the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk, that people would deliberately go and kill, so how does that help? The Ori Miklat are meant for Beshergig. So one answer is, Maharsha says, we just said, that the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, that the Ratzchim Amazin also runs at Arim Mikla at the beginning, and then they have to be taken from there. There are a variety of other answers. The Ramban answer is that people in Gilad would kill the Amazin, and they would make it look like it was B'shogeg. So therefore you need more Arim Mikla. The Maharal brings an answer from his brother Reb Sinai. The Maharal was one of four brothers who were all great Talmid Chachamim. Reb Chaim, Reb Yehuda Liver, who was the Maharal, Reb Sinai, and I forget what the fourth brother's name was. Anyway, the Maharal brings an answer from his brother Reb Sinai, and he likes the answer. He says that what it is in Eretz Yisrael proper. Now the Gemara is going to explain. We'll learn tomorrow about Hashem that you have people who kill B'shogeg, and there were no Edim, so therefore they can't go to the Arim Mikla. And there are people who kill B'mezim without Edim, and therefore they can't be killed, and Hashem arranges that the Ritzach B'Shogeg accidentally kills the Ritzach B'Mezid with Edim, and therefore now he's able to go. Now the Ritzach B'Mezid gets killed, and the Ritzach B'Shogeg goes to the Arim Mikla. So now in Eretz Yisrael, you have that. In Eber Yagin, there are many Ruts from B'Shogeg, there are many Ruts from B'Mezid, and therefore Hashem brings about that there's more times when a Ritzach B'Shogeg kills the Ritzach B'Mezid, therefore you need more Arim Mikla. And then the Maharal gives that answer, and he gives another answer as well, that in Avra Yardin there are many intentional murderers, and therefore life is cheap over there, and therefore many more people kill B'Shogeg because they don't pay attention. And then there's a number of other answers as well that Mefarshim give. Anyway, the Gemara says, Dichtiv, as we find a passage, Gilad Kiryas Toile Oven, Gilad is a city of those who do evil, Akuba Midan. It's Akuba, as the Gemara is going to explain, from blood. So my Akuba Midam, Amr Blaz, show you open lying and fascist. Means that people were lying in wait, and they were open, actually says open, they would lie in wait, they would ambush in order to kill. So there were many deliberate killers in Gilad, and therefore because of that they had to, again, according to all these various answers that we said and many more, they needed therefore a lot of Ari Miklot over there to deal with all of that. Okay, the Gemara asks, what about in Eretz Yisrael itself? What about, let's consider, according to what we just said before about where the Orei Miklat were located relative to the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it comes out that there's a greater distance from, so let's say, for example, a person might be at the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, he has to go, let's say, 100 miles to reach Hebron. On the other hand, we're saying from Hebron to Shem is 100 miles, which means that if he's between Hebron and Shem, he only has to go maximum 50 miles. And the same thing from Shem to Kadesh, and then on the other hand, from Kadesh to the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, you'd have to go, let's say, 100 miles. So why did Hashem arrange it that way? That it comes out that people who are running away to Shem have less to go than to Hebron of Kadesh, the northern and southern cities. Why the difference? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, B'Shechem Nami Shchichi Rotzchim. Because in Shechem also, there were more prevalent Rotzchim. Not as many as in Gilad, otherwise you're back to the question 3 and 3, but still more prevalent than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael proper. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Hosea, Uchachake Ish Gdudim, like the bands of people, like the bands of people who lie in wait, Chever Koyanim, like the group of Koyanim, Derech Yiratzchu Shechem of a Gomer, they kill on the road to Shechem. Now, on Mephoshim, on the Pasuk, explain that Shechma in Pashat Pshat does not necessarily mean Shechem. It may mean they gather together as a band, like the Obdei Shechem Echad. But here, the Gemara is understanding that it means the city of Shechem. My Chever Koyanim, why we're comparing it to a group of Koyanim, on Rabbi Lazar, showing the Schabrin, Lyre of Nefoshis, they would gather together in bands to kill people, like the way Koyanim Alodah Shem Eschabin Lachal Trumas Vezagranis, like the way Koyanim gather together to get Truma from the granaries. People don't go individually; they go as a group. So therefore, the same way they would go as groups in order to murder people. So therefore, so in the area around Shechem, they needed a greater proportion. They needed the Ir Mikla to be not as far, relatively speaking, from Hebron and from Kedesh in order to take care of that thing. We find by Shechem, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that in Shechem, Shechem is b'chol mokum muchon the poor onus. It's a place that's always destined for misfortune. Their Yosef was sold, their dinner was raped, their malchus bezavod was split up. So therefore, the Gemara is saying over here that it has that certain tendency that there are more rotzim in that area, and therefore you need to make it easier for a person to get to the Ir Mikla over there. One point is, again, that Ramban is saying that only the six are kolot and not the other, and not the rest of them, unlike what we're going to learn tomorrow, the other 42. So that also, that all of that is supported by what we've said so far, that the Gemara is assuming that so far, it sounds like the Gemara is assuming that Taka only the six work, and therefore otherwise, if we're talking that the other 42 work as well, then you don't really have a question because they're scattered pretty much evenly all over Eretz Yisrael. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue talking about more about the positioning and the dinim of the Orem Mikvot and a lot of our God on the subject. Beis Hashem.